I still encourage you again. I was so excited after Sunday morning last week. We had, I think, 35, 40 boxes that were out on the table, and they were all gone. So that's exciting. We put out 50. My daughter and another young of our junior youth came in and helped put all the boxes together and stacked them out there. They're already almost half gone again. So thank you for your generosity. What a great ministry. What a great opportunity to be able to pour into children around the world. I thought I would share just a little bit of some of the impact that Operation Christmas Child or the shoeboxes have made over the years. In 2010, they trained teachers all over the world. They trained about 14,000 teachers. In 2016, they trained 152,000 teachers around the world to disciple kids. That's amazing. Enrolled in the program of reaching kids and giving out boxes, In 2010, they gave out 270,000 boxes and touched that many kids. That's amazing. But last year, they gave 3.5 million boxes to kids all over the world. That's because maybe that's like, whoa, that's an amazing number. That's huger, bigger than us. But it's one plus God is a majority. He multiplies when we all give a little, when we all do a little. We are better together. Not only that, but they run a discipleship program after, and of the discipleship program, back in 2010, 169 kids went through the discipleship program. In 2016, 2.5 million kids got discipled for Christ. Of that 2.5 million, 1.5 or 1.6 million gave their heart to the Lord right there, where God just transformed their life and did a work in there. Then after that, they talk about praying and sharing, where people from all over not only pack a box and that, but they form groups or they collectively start to pray and they share with them, that over 1,800,000 people prayed over boxes last year. Because how many know it's, you know, toys are nice. The stuff we put in there, it's nice and it's a blessing, but they're just tools. Not by might, nor by power, or by shoeboxes, declares the Lord, but by my Spirit. Listen, I tell you now, there's nothing greater than you can do than to pray. Now, I know sometimes we pray and pray and pray and pray when God has just said, go, or do. Well, God, I'm just wondering. I'm going to ask you the 19th time. Are you sure you want this? So there's a time he wants us just to go and to do. But listen, in your going and doing, never do it without prayer. Never do it without his covering. Never do it without his leading. Amen? And that's part of the power of the cross. The cross just didn't give us heaven. The cross released us into the power and the anointing of God that flows not only in us now, but through us. I'm so excited for what the Lord is doing. MOPS, wow, God has just really opened some doors to reach our young moms in our community. I believe there were six that were out the last time. We've got MOPS coming up again. There was nine kids. If you'd love to be part of a ministry that is a breath of fresh air and exciting, I encourage you, if you have an opportunity every second week for an hour and a half, that's it, an hour and a half to love on the kids so that moms can get refreshed, renewed, and encouraged and challenged about how good God is, I encourage you to see Ashley. Ashley was the one that was playing the keyboard, or see the information desk and say, hey, I'd like to know more information how I can pour into young moms and into young families, amen? How many know it's not always easy? Most of us, we've been through it. Right? I'm so thankful I'm not in the stage. I'm dragging around playpens and strollers and diapers and everything else. I'm glad I'm past that. I'm glad I've got no diaper genie. How many know they stink? You know, like they do. I mean, they're supposed to hold it in and everything, but man, it just smells. I'm so glad I'm past all of that. But I remember those days. They're etched very heavily in my heart about how sometimes I felt like I was failing every moment. I felt like, man, what do I do? How do I do this? And that felt overwhelmed. And I'm so thankful for the couples that came alongside of Christina and I to pour in. And I'm so thankful for Ashley opening this opportunity to do the same. So I just encourage you, if you want to be a part of something exciting, then I encourage you to see her as we grow together. Amen? Amen. We're going to jump into some scriptures. You'll see some of them come behind you. Some of them will be just the reference behind you. So if you have your Bibles, you want to turn open to them. As we believe that in Rockcliffe and in my life, I am endeavoring everything in my life to bend my life to the Word of God. I know society, I know in North American churches, a lot of times what's happening is they're bending the Word to fit our life. Well, what we like, what we don't like, but here at Rockcliffe, we aren't doing that. Amen? The Word of God is the rock solid truth. There is no truth outside of this. This is our absolute truth. So when I need to go to ground zero, I come back to the cross. I come back to the foot of Christ and say, Jesus, you are the Word. Speak to me and help me. Amen? So in that part is you'll be flipping in your Bible quite a bit today as I want to talk a little bit more as I felt like God just said I needed to park a little bit on the cross. I needed to challenge just a little bit more. If you didn't get our message, we're in the middle of a series called Not a Fan. God is not looking for enthusiastic admirers. He's not looking for people to fill our churches. It's not what he's called. He's looking for fully committed, devoted followers of him. That we're sold out to Jesus. Amen? If there's an area of your life that you're not sold out yet, well, then today's your good day. Today's your day to surrender and open up to him. Amen? And that, listen, is your pastor fully sold out to him right now? I'm doing my best, but I'm not there yet. If I was there yet, guess what? I'd be in heaven right beside him. So every day, he's challenging my heart. Every day, he's showing me something. Now, listen, be patient with me. He doesn't show me the same things he shows you every day. Just like I need to be patient with you. Just because he's dealing with this in my life doesn't mean that he's dealing with the same in yours. That's why we got to be patient with each other, amen? I remember going to the theater once. I think I shared this once before, but I went into the theater, and, I just needed a downtime. I needed my brain to go mush and that because there was so much going on. My wife and I said, well, let's just go watch a movie. So we went to watch this movie, and I don't know, about 10 minutes in, something in my spirit just said, ah. And it, not that it was a terrible movie, but it was just like, something just inside of me. I resisted for a few moments. I couldn't resist any longer. So I turned to Christina and said, hey, we need to go. I just don't feel right or something. Just God's speaking something to me. So we got up and we left, not making a scene, not turning around. You are all wretched sinners going to hell because God spoke to us that you can't watch this movie. No, he only spoke to us. He didn't say that to everyone else. He didn't tell me to open my mouth and tell everyone else. You see, that's why it's so important we need Holy Spirit. Because a lot of times we'll say what God is trying to do in our heart and we'll push it out on everyone else. If he hasn't told you to say it, then you need to treasure it in your heart. Even if God says, hey, I know so-and-so, and he puts someone on your heart, and he shares something about them. God only shared it with you because he wants you to pray. He wants you to invest into his kingdom, because how many know prayer, when we pray, the right prayer of the righteous man or woman, one that reckons on Jesus being bigger than anything else, can pull down strongholds. Amen? And that there is nothing too difficult for him. Don't ever allow prayer to become so small that, well, it's something, maybe, I don't know, we'll try, let's just pray, we do our thing. No, it is powerful. It is powerful when we pray. William Booth said this about carrying your cross. He says, we must wake ourselves up, or somebody else will take our place and bear our cross and therefore rob us of our crown. See, you and I possess both a cross and a crown. According to scriptures, for the most part, the cross we carry is invisible. We see its effects, but not its form. Likewise, in Christ, you have been given an invisible crown. In Hebrews 2, 6 and 8, it says, what is man that you're mindful of him? Or the son of man that you care for him? You made him for a little while lower than the angels, and you have crowned him with glory and honor, putting everything in subject under his feet. See, on earth, the crown represents our position, the authority that he's given us as ambassadors for Christ. I am not my own. I've been bought by a price. I surrender to the cross. I surrender to Christ. And as I bow down, I deny myself. I pick my cross. And as I follow him, then on behalf of Christ, everywhere as I walk, I claim for him. Everywhere as I put my hands to, I claim for him. Every word that comes out of my life, I claim for him. Why? Because the Bible says, everything you do, do it unto the Lord. Oh, we are meant to be aliens and strangers in this world. We are not meant to fit in. That doesn't mean that we go and dress different just so that everyone will know. Not on the outside he's talking about. He's talking about in here. We are not to be the same. We don't think the way the world thinks. We don't talk the way the world talks. Why? Because our hearts have been transformed. Everything flows from the heart. That's why we don't like it. You know, when someone says, oh my goodness, I can't believe you just said that. The Bible says, out of the abundance of the mouth, the heart speaks. Abundance of the heart, sorry. The mouth speaks. I got that mixed around there. But you know what I'm talking about. And out of that part is all of a sudden when you got this swear word coming out or this negative vibe coming out, there's something inside that God wants to set free. God's more interested in you than he is in anything you can do. So when we pick up our cross, it's very personal. It's a very personal walk with him. As ambassadors of heaven, we're backed by the power of that realm. Jesus defeated death and hell. He says, you'll go through trials, you'll go through difficulty, but I overcame this world, and so take courage, you will too, because I live in you. Oh, there's a power. It's not my power, but it's the power of the great I am who dwells inside of me, and I have authority to release that power because he says, I give you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions. I give you authority to thwart and to stop all the works of the enemy. Oh, will we just believe in what the cross actually accomplished for us? It didn't just accomplish a way to heaven. It accomplished a way that we could partner with God and we could stand in authority and we could speak out his word in his kingdom, and even demons will have to move. Now, don't rejoice in a demon moving. Rejoice that your name's written in heaven. Amen? But in that part is he's wanting you and I to release the power of God. That's what it means about carrying the cross. Martin Luther put it this way. He says, learn to know Christ and him crucified. Learn to sing to him and say, Lord Jesus, you are my righteousness. I am your sin. You have taken upon yourself that is mine and given me what is yours. You have become what you were not so that I might become what I was not. He became sin, yet he knew no sin. He didn't do any sin. He took all of ours on so that we might become righteousness. Oh, the Bible reminds us the moment you come to Christ, the old is gone and the new has begun. He's washed you white as snow. So if you're here today and you're a believer in Christ and you're still carrying some of that old baggage of guilt and shame and weight, in Jesus' name, let the power of the cross set you free because you're not meant to carry it anymore. In fact, when you go back to God, oh God, don't you remember? In 1992, I was this and I did this. And God's like, what are you talking about? He says, the moment you ask him for forgiveness, he's faithful and just to forgive. And he says, I remember it no more. And God, if he's saying he remembers it no more, what right do we have to remember it? Oh, there's power in the cross. You see, we wear the crown and we carry the cross. Jesus bore our cross so that we could wear his crown. He became like us. It's time for us to become like him. See, my goal as a believer in Jesus Christ, and I pray the goal of everyone here is the same, is not to get to heaven. I got nowhere else to go. If I ask Jesus in my heart, it's only heaven or hell, and he says, promises heaven. But my goal is not to get to heaven. My goal is to be like Christ. More of you in me, less of me. So if you set your heart on heaven as your goal, well, then you'll live however you want to live down here, and you'll live your own way. But that's not the way of the Christian. Narrow is the way, he says. And that narrow way is it reminds us, Jesus declared, I am the way, the, and the. And we need to come after him. We need to follow him in that way. He is that. Jesus told the disciples, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. That is our theme verse in series called Not a Fan. I'm kind of off it today, but I'm in the middle of it, of Luke 9:23. A cross. See, all the disciples, they knew what it meant. Roman execution of the most horrific kind. They were hoping that Jesus might conquer their enemies and restore the kingdom of Israel, Acts 1:6. Carrying a Roman cross did not sound like a messianic or a messiah thing to do. It sounded like death, and Jesus wanted them to die. Yes, he did want them to die. You see, Jesus' kingdom was not of this world. Not a geopolitical world. They knew. John 18:36 kind of brings that out. His kingdom was far broader in scope than they ever realized. And their true enemy was far more powerful and deadly than the Romans. Romans were just a drop in the bucket. Isaiah 40:15 will help with that. You see, their real enemy lived in them and all around them. Jesus had indeed come to conquer that enemy. And the effects that that enemy caused on this world. That sin to a believer has no more hold. It only has a hold if we grab it. Sin has no more. He says, whom the Son sets free is. So if we're grabbing it, don't allow the enemy to settle in your heart. Oh, it's just too strong. It's just too powerful. I can't turn the TV off. I can't turn that stuff off my computer. I can't stop this habit. I can't stop or help myself in speaking. You know, that's a lie of the enemy to try and get us to believe that the devil is big. He's not. Oh, he's bigger than you. But he's a speck in the dust compared to Jesus. There's no comparison. They're not in a big fight boxing it out together, hoping one day Jesus, if we cheer louder, Jesus might win. No, Jesus has won. There is no contest. There was never a contest. The devil thought he won, but he didn't even understand. He was so small in his thinking and small in his ways compared to God. Jesus had indeed come to conquer that enemy. In fact, he was headed to Jerusalem to strike a decisive blow in just days when he said that to his disciples. So he now was preparing them for the cross. First his, but foremost theirs. Jesus was teaching them to intentionally move towards death. In our life here today, what do? We all struggle to save our life, right? Because life is precious. Amen? But the Bible says for the one that wants to save their life, they'll end up losing it. Why? Because they get their hands all in it and it becomes about them. It's like the sign out front we put on the sign, and that it's not that we were to think less of ourselves and put ourselves down. It's just that we're supposed to think less often of ourselves. Sometimes we're just so self-focused. That's how the enemy works. I. He gets us around focused on, listen, it doesn't matter how strong you are or how long you've been a Christian. Every one of us fall to it at different times. And he just wants to set us free of that as we walk in the rhythm of the grace with him. Physical death, yes. All present here today will one day die. Unless Jesus comes back and sweeps us up, we're all going to die one day. I don't know why we don't get that sometimes. And all of a sudden we get shocked. Reality is, Jesus is not we're all destined to die at one day. He says none of us know the day or time. So make every second count for his name's sake. Make every second count in your marriage with your kids, because you never know, it could be the last. He says, live on purpose. Live on purpose. Now, how do I do that? How do I stay that focused? I deny myself. I pick up my cross and I follow him. And you know how I can deny myself? It's because I've really learned how to trust him. He is a good father. He's never failed me. He is true to his word, even when I don't want him to be. He doesn't change for me. I change for him. And he challenges us in this idea of carrying our cross to move with him. But all of his followers would also have to die to themselves. Die to the desires of self-glory, die to the desires of worldly respect or fear of man, die to the desires for an easy life, die to the desires of earthly wealth, and 1,000 other deaths. We need to die. Finally, they must die to the desire to save their own earthly life. If you're a fireman, you have to come to grips with this. And that is, you're called to go into the flames, sometimes to save someone at the risk of your own life. And they lay their life down time after time. An officer, a soldier, same things. And God is saying, we've got to come to the place that we love him so much and what he's doing and what he's looking for, that we're willing to lay our life down, even if it costs us everything. Carrying your cross. But Jesus wasn't calling his followers to something easygoing life of self-sacrifice for a noble cause. His was an invitation to joy beyond imagination. A broad road of the world was lined with seductive false promises appealing to the blinding sinful nature of our heart. It was leading many to horrors beyond their imagination, because sin is pleasurable for a season. But beware, your sins will find you out. Listen to me. He knows how to swing that knockout punch the enemy does just after, you know, you kind of feel like you it's gone, whatever that habit or that thing is, and you're kind of past it a little bit, but you haven't covered it under the blood. You haven't asked Jesus for forgiveness. You just kind of, well, if I forget about it, it'll be okay. And then all of a sudden you move over to here, and then that enemy, just as you're getting on your feet and everything's going great and you're like, wow, Jesus, you and I got something good going. And then all of a sudden, bam, he hits you and he brings that accusation. He brings that moment back. He brings that temptation, and all of a sudden you fall. But now you've dragged 10 or 15 people with you, because now you're in a place where you're trying to live for Christ and people are looking to you. And when you fall, now you're dragging a bunch with you. We need to deal with the things in our life before they deal with us. Jesus was calling his followers to deny themselves the worldly pleasures, the brief joys that they might have, for overflowing joy. I heard an illustration once of a young man calling out to God. He was at the end of his ropes. He didn't know what to do. He had dropped to his knees in prayers, and he says, Lord, I can't go on. He says, I have too heavy of a cross to bear. The Lord replied, my son, if you can't bear its weight, just place the cross outside of this room. Open the door, and on the other side, just pick another cross that you wish. The young man was filled with relief. Thank you, Lord, he sighed, and he did what he was told. He entered into the other room, and he saw so many crosses, but so many were large. So many were big. And then he spotted a tiny cross leaning against the far wall, and he says, I'd like that one, Lord, he whispered. And the Lord replied, my son, that was the cross that you just brought in. You see, a lot of times we get so focused on what our problems are in life that we think they're so massive. And don't get me wrong, there's things in this room that people have faced, and that I don't have a clue about how your heart has felt or what you've had to endure, and that I don't fully understand, just like there's things in my life you've never had to walk through. That's why we're better. And in that part, as we come back to understand, is God says, personal God, I am a child of God, personal God, I will never lay anything heavy fitting or ill-fitting upon you that you and I can't carry. And if it gets so heavy and so hard and difficult, I'll give you a way out. Trust me. Trust me in this. If I'm not giving you the way out, it's because you're stronger than you think you are. And there's something I want to do in the middle of your struggle or in the middle of your loss or in the middle of your pain or in the middle of the tragedy or the things that you're going through. Trust him. He's a good father. Jesus told his disciples, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Luke 9:23. So how do we fulfill this highly personal directive and command? There are three elements in that verse and that instructions that he gives us. The first is we have to deny ourselves. The second is you got to take up your cross. And the third is you must follow him. My selfish ways are different than your selfish ways. Just as the cross that I take up is unique to my journey, I don't carry your cross and you don't carry mine. At times I might help prop you up. At times I might help you through. At times I might even pick it for a season or a moment, but I can't carry your cross and mine. Mine's too heavy. You can't carry yours and mine. We just can't do it. We weren't made. We're not that strong enough. That's why the Bible says, cast all your cares upon me because I care for you. He's strong enough. Oh, sometimes our pride gets in the way and we're just carrying way too much stuff. We feel that we deserve it because we did something wrong. Oh, Jesus, set someone free of that. You don't deserve any of it. Cast all your cares on him. Or we think that, oh, I've got to be strong enough. You know, because, you know, I got to do. No, when you are weak, he is strong. Oh, we must decrease so he can increase. In order to learn how to carry our cross, we must first answer some questions concerning the cross. What exactly is Jesus asking us to carry? Where do we find our cross? Is it a burden we drag through the course of life? Or does the cross stand for something vastly more mysterious than a wooden beams could represent? You see, the cross has a beauty so great that no necklace or pendant could ever compare to its beauty. I truly believe the cross captures all the work of salvation, and it's been placed in your hands and mine. All the work, all the power of God has been released and shown through this simple act of Christ dying on the cross. The cross is far more than an ornament to wear. It's an order to carry out. I want to share what it looks like to carry a cross like a true follower, kind of in a fun little way. So what does it mean to carry the cross? When I have a conversation with some of the quick answers might be, which is to deny myself. But denying yourself is only the first step of carrying your cross. It is a piece of it. Well, how about laying down my will? Well, that's a good one again, but denying yourself and laying down your will is only a piece of it. It's only a journey, a part of that journey. So what does it mean? How do you know when you're carrying your cross or when you've left it at home? How much does the cross actually weigh? These are questions I've had throughout the years. Where do you keep your cross? You see, when we simply come to the end of our reason and declare, we don't really know and understand the mysteries of God around this. As soon as we acknowledge our ignorance, the answers begin to be revealed. God says, I have a plan, declares the Lord. In fact, in the New Testament, if you jump over to the old into the new, he says, I've already prepared in advance every good work for you to do. So the things God's asking us to do, and those good works, don't always turn out good for me. I just need to be candid here because sometimes we sugarcoat things so much. Some of the good things he asked me to do, it hurts me. It's tough on me. But it's good because it's a part of his kingdom. Will we deny ourselves, pick up our cross, and follow him even when it hurts? Knowing that we're a part of something bigger than life. Or to remain as a fan only takes a step when it's convenient, when it's comfortable, and when it's easy. I remember a dear saint in one of my first churches I was ever in, and my wife and I roofed 61 houses or 62 houses that summer with a roofing company as I worked full-time in the church because the church didn't have money to pay us. I made $9,000 for the entire year. Tithing wasn't so easy when you got bills, but I'm going to tell you, it was never meant to be easy. If it's easy, you're not giving enough. But when we start tithing, all we're really doing is we're aligning ourselves with God's will so his goodness can flow through our lives. And I'm telling you now, there wasn't one day, one month, that we didn't have some kind of food in our house and we didn't have a roof over our head. He took care of us. A $9,000 for the year. I mean, that's below poverty. That's even below poverty's level. But he did it. What he does for one, he can do for all. Don't get bought into this world system. Don't get caught up into these things that, oh my goodness, it's fear-mongering. The enemy does all the time. Trust God. He's got a plan for you. Now use wisdom, but not earthly wisdom, godly wisdom. Ask him, seek him. If you ask, he will answer. You'll receive. He'll give you wisdom. He'll give you direction. But seek out him. I want to introduce you to Arthur Blissett, who was God had called to walk for 40 years from 1969 to 2009 as he carried the cross around the world through 315 nations, countries, and every major island group. He was arrested 24 times. He even brought out before a firing squad during this time. Walking through jungles, deserts, highways, and marshes, he boldly declares that Jesus was there every step of the way. Why? Because God asked him to do it. So watch this as he goes into Palestine during this time, if we flip it up.
And then we come up on a big pile of dirt and steel and an anti-tank barrier. Step up to the top and there's all these guns pointed at us and a guy says, "What are you doing here?" He said it in English, and I said, "Carrying the cross. We've come with good news." And he said, "If you've got good news, you're welcome. We can stand all the good news we can get. Come on in." And Joshua and I walked in. Soldiers were rushing up to us. They were trying to give us cigarettes and drinks and tea. They were so excited to see us. This is Muslim West Beirut. All of a sudden, there's a noise, and around the building steps Yasser Arafat. He has come to welcome us. Peter Arnett of CNN filmed it.
The evangelist Arthur Blessett from Los Angeles described himself as a follower of Jesus, and the cross was for all people.
Can I say a prayer? Father, I pray in the name of Jesus for your peace. I pray for your peace in all this land, that there be no more killing, there be no more death, and that the dreams and the hopes and aspirations of all people shall be filled. I pray for you to spare the life of this man and bless him and all the people. And oh God, may no one else die. We love you. We love you, Jesus. And we thank you that you brought us here through many dangers that we may stand for justice and love and peace. And may there be no one else die. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you, Lord.
The people said, "You'll be shot carrying a cross. No one wants you with a cross there." But that's, of course, not true. We've been welcomed. We're here for peace. The God of Abraham says, let there be peace.
It's been awesome to see how that the people in the worst and most difficult places are many of the ones that have welcomed the cross the most. The people you would think would want to reject you have seen the cross going through their battlefield, and instead of pulling the trigger, God pulled on their heart, and they responded.
We think carrying our cross is so hard and difficult because, oh, how could it ever be? And I will get persecuted, we'll get this, we'll get that. Now listen, it doesn't happen always that easy. Carrying your cross can mean you might lose your family, might lose a friend, might lose a job, might lose other things because you stand up for what's right. I had a friend, if he wasn't so high up in the company, he would have lost his job when he stood up and said, wait a second here. I'm not just taking stuff from work home because that's stealing. That's wrong. And so many individuals were doing it in that company that the company was losing lots, but no one really knew because everyone was just taking. The moment he put a light on it and said, whoa, that's not right. We shouldn't do that. All of a sudden, all the workers around tried so hard to get him fired just because he stood up for integrity, he stood up for his right. Now, listen to me. I'm not saying the way of the cross is easy. If someone ever sold you that, that was a lie. It's not easy. I don't always feel like following Christ. I don't always feel like being a pastor. I don't always feel like loving people or praying for people. I don't. There's a battle that's always going on. But every day that I pick up my cross and I die to myself and I choose to follow him, it gets easier and it gets easier. Not the circumstances, but the battle that's within. Some of us, we're battling so hard, and it's not from external, it's just from internal, because we've been fighting God so much. We're running so aimlessly, trying to do things, trying to do this and that, just so that we can get an appeasement inside of us so that we can feel okay. But God is saying, whoa, wait a second. It's not about that. Wait on me. Find out what I'm asking you. Maybe God's not asking any of us to take the cross here, put a wheel on the end, and go across 315 nations and major island groups and walk, sharing Christ every step of the way. But he has called every one of us to something very specific. That's why you're so different than your spouse or your neighbor or your friend or whoever. We're all unique. And he's got something specific he created for this time, like Esther, for such a time as this moment, for you to accomplish for his name and his kingdom. In your bulletin, you would have received a little cross, and it has all these names in it. There was a poll done gathering single word descriptions of the cross. Here are some of the words that were received, and they put it into this kind of into the shape of a cross to try to help with that. Some of the words shared are emphasized by being bigger and larger, either in size or the amount of times, because they were referenced more than any other when they did this poll. So you see, the cross, top one, is access to God. There's love, there's gratitude, righteousness, and you see righteousness again there. You see freedom and all these things, but what I found interesting that wasn't on that poll or on that list, and that's why you should see a little line, I don't have it up here, but I think it's in the bulletin, I wrote on the bottom there is weapon. The cross is a weapon. And that wasn't on the poll. The cross is a weapon. It conquered death and hell. Defeat it. And as I stand and I cling to that cross, who or what could be against? If God be for us, who could be against? He conquered death and hell. What else could come against us? Oh, death, where is your sting? You got nothing on me anymore. because he conquered it all. It's a weapon that we grab a hold of. I'm not saying it's a weapon you take and you pound it like your Bible. If I take my Bible and I smack someone over the head, you got to get this into you, boom, and I hit them with it. I'm not saying that. But remember, it's a powerful weapon. The enemy lost. He's defeated, and he has no place to lie, cheat, rob, destroy anymore unless we give it to him. See, the cross provides all of that, what was won, just as Jesus provides all that he is for you and me. Through the cross, Christ purchased us love, forgiveness, freedom, and redemption. It's time that we carry all that we have experienced to those around us. 2 Corinthians 4:7 says, "But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us." God's given us authority, but all the power is his. I can't rub my hands together, stick it on someone, and they're healed. I got no power. I have authority that my God is, there's nothing impossible with him, that if he says I could speak over sickness and I'd make a declaration upon sickness and I become a channel, an ambassador for him, and his power then does the work. Oh, don't take away from God what is his. Who am I that he's mindful of me? What did God did for the cross, he can do for you. Listen to Paul describe this dynamic of carrying the cross to the new believers in Rome. It's found in Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. I want to read it in the NIV, but then I want to flip over to the Message Bible because it becomes raw for us. But let me read it from the NIV. "Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship." True and proper worship is not singing. Amen? True and proper worship, in view of God's mercy, is to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. No longer I that live, but Christ who lives in me. Amen? That's our true act of worship. When we begin to sing, it should be an expression of our heart towards God. That's why you hear me say, you know what? Hey, if you don't know what the words are, it doesn't matter. Make up your own words, because it's not about the words. It's about your heart and my heart pressing into him no matter what's going on around us. I can worship God in the middle of a football game. In fact, there's times I'm watching a movie and tears run down my face, and my wife looks at me and wonders what's going on, and it has nothing to do because it's one of those tear-jerker movies, but it's on that part is it because all of a sudden God just flashed something before me and he showed me himself, and all of a sudden my heart broke and I started to realize how he looks at something or whatever it might be. God is constantly revealing himself to you and to me. He's opening our hearts. But listen, I want you to listen to it from the Message Bible, and this is where it gets raw. This is what it says. So here's what I want you to do. God helping you, take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work, and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Embrace what God does for you, and the best thing you can do for him is to lay your life before him. Don't become so well-adjusted in your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out. Readily recognize what he wants from you and quickly respond to it. In other words, simply just let's try this year. For the rest of this year, let's try to say more yeses to him than noes. And watch what he's going to do. Will you always get it right? Will I always get it right? No. But the more we die to ourselves, we pick up our cross and we follow him and we try to say yes to him, we're going to start to see an explosion happening. You see, revival is not something that starts out in the community. Revival starts right here in your heart and mine. Will we surrender again? Will we come back to our first love? Will we embrace the cross and allow it to embrace us? Jesus loved to speak the truth, feed the hungry, cast out demons, heal the sick, confront religion, and raise the dead. Matthew 4:23 says, Jesus went through Galilee, teaching in the synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness among the people. Matthew 9:29 says, take heart, my son, your sins are forgiven. And behold, some of the scribes said to themselves, this man is blaspheming. But Jesus, knowing their thoughts, says, why do you think evil in your hearts? For which is easier, to say your sins are forgiven or to say rise up and walk? But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins, he said to the paralytic, rise, pick up your bed, and go home. And he rose and he went home. And the crowd saw it, they were afraid, and they glorified God, who had given such authority to men. It's time for a revelation of Christ to be revealed again. Jesus did good and healed all who were oppressed of the devil because God was with him. There's no reason to choose between social justice and supernatural, and Jesus did both of them. Let's remove our name from the equation. Call him Emmanuel, God with us. And let's just do the same and just simply follow him. David said in Psalm 16:10 to 11, because you will not abandon me to the realm of the dead, nor will you let your faithful see decay. You make known to me the path of life, and you will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand. Psalm 16:10 and 11. See, these words of David are not just his words, but it's a promise from Christ. See, only God can take a mess and turn it into a message. Only God can take a test and turn it into a testimony. Only God can take a trial and turn it into a triumph. Only God can take a victim and turn it into a victory. God has the ability. He always has the final word. Just follow him. The cross is our sign, and you and I are its wonder of what he's done in our life. 1 Corinthians 2:4 and 5, as I come to an end, my message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that your faith might not rest on human wisdom, but on God's power. The blood of Jesus made a way for us to approach the throne with boldness, so that we can find all the power of heaven that we need. Hebrews 10:23 to 25 says, let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and to good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encourage one another all the more as you see the day drawing near. Hebrews 10:23 to 25. The cross has positioned you to be a hero in someone's life. You should carry it as one with hope in your heart, faith for the impossible, and a love for all of humanity. This means that the wonder of Jesus is immeasurable. In John 21:25 says, now there are also many other things that Jesus did. Were every one of them to be written down, I suppose that the world itself could not contain the books that would be written in. I believe each of us have been chosen to live as a living expression of his wonder. He saved us. He called on us. He knocked on the door of our heart and called us in. Not just so that we could enjoy and relax, but to be a part of this wonder. You could be a part of that trophy for him into the world around you. I'm going to ask I know that's a couple minutes long, but this is really important. This is Arthur Bissett just sharing this idea of carrying the cross, and so many of us face this idea. So if you can grace me for a few more minutes here of this part where he's going to share just a little bit of how God called him to do something that he didn't feel he was worthy of. He didn't feel he had all the right stuff, but this is what he has to share.
I never played sports in my life. I grew up on a farm. I never graduated from college because I couldn't pass the foreign language. If you were looking for somebody who wasn't qualified, see me there in that hospital bed with a brain aneurysm 2 weeks before I'm to start walking across America. I started out from here 40 years ago and carried the cross around the world and came back. And if my coming back was just for you, Michelle, it was worth the journey. To be chosen to carry the cross. This is indescribable. I'm not worthy, most of all. But my unworthiness does not disqualify me from the call of God. And many times it's the weight of what I feel the cross is inside is heavier than the wood I bear. Because I feel the hurts, the pains, the fears, the bitterness, the loneliness. But the cross is good news. Many times along the road when things are tough, and sometime when my body's ached, and sometime when my heart is broke, I've walked on another step, just saying, Lord, I'll be your donkey. I want to lift you up that people will see you and know you and love you and know that you care and follow you. Thank you for giving me this privilege. And that's what I think I really am, is I've been a donkey lifting up Jesus. And if there is any glory, it is unto God, not me. I never really dreamed that I would ever really live to see the completion of this journey. I figured I'd be wiped out by a Big Mac truck somewhere, or blown up somewhere. And when I finished that last step in Zanzibar, I don't know. The realization that even just sitting here right now, talking about it, it's millions of miracles. It is just the most humbling thing to be identified with Jesus. It's all for you, Jesus. I love you. Thanks for calling me. Thanks that you had mercy to let me live to complete the journey and even live to tell the story. Your destiny, your stations, your angels around me, the blood of Jesus about me, and you brought us through. And may you be glorified. Just glorified.
May that be our prayer. God, would you be glorified? He might have carried a physical cross around the world, but you and I are carrying the same cross in our hearts. Let's not forget why. But God wants the wonder to return back into your heart, because you are the wonder to this world. You are his hands. You are his feet. Can we stand together today as we close this morning? And I ask you just to place your hand upon your heart. Just place your hand upon your heart. I just want to pray. Oh, dear Heavenly Father, I pray in the name of Jesus Christ. If you need to take defibrillators and start our hearts again, so be it, Lord. But God, Lord, may not one of us walk from this place not recognizing that we have been called for a purpose. In whom you call, you will equip. So we lack nothing in you. In ourselves, we lack everything. We don't feel worthy. But in you, you complete us. So Lord, help us, Lord, as we leave this place today. Lord, to return to that first love, that passion, Lord, of falling to you, for you and denying ourselves, Lord, following along with you and where you would lead, we'll follow, Lord. I pray that you would stir that again, that adventure, that excitement. Oh, what is God going to do next? Oh, what does he have to say? Oh, what gift does he want to flow? Oh, God, I pray that you would bring that zeal back inside of us, where your word says, never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Jesus, I pray right now, Lord, that you would hear our heart's cry. Lord, we simply echo words that Arthur said is, Lord, we're just a donkey. It's the King of Kings that we want to put on our back and lift up. So help us, remind us, Lord, if that's the imagery that works, whatever it might be, would you bring that into our heart right now to remind us how, Lord, we, Lord, need to deny ourselves, pick up our cross, and follow you every day. Yesterday is gone. Today has begun. It's a brand new day. Don't look back. You'll be turned to a pillar of salt like Lot's wife was. But from this day forward, choose this day whom you will serve. Fear of man, yourself, others, or will you serve Christ? Oh, Jesus, I pray that you would come and remind us. Lord, come and speak into every one of our hearts, Lord. And I thank you for that right now. Son of daughter of God, turn from your reflection. Deny its limitations and reflect on him. Daily remind yourself of his goodness, redemption, and mercy. Listen to the Holy Spirit as you carry all that the cross provides for you and you wait in hope. Read and recite the verses of your King until they overflow in every aspect of your life, and follow him. Live like a hero. And you will strike a sure blow to the enemy, and captives will be set free. Thank you, Lord, for what you're doing. Thank you, Lord, for new beginnings. Thank you, Lord, for reminding us of what it really is about picking our cross and following you. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Ashley's going to come at this time, and she's just going to continue to play for a bit. We bless you. We're a little over this morning. We bless you in Jesus' name. But if you'd like someone to pray with you, or if God's tugging at your heart and he's speaking towards you to say, hey, you know what, I'm asking a little more of you, then I encourage you, don't just run away and forget about it. And that, but wait on him. Whether it be right here or in your car or at home, just wait on him. Say, God, what are you asking of me? What do I need to let go of today? What do I need to let go of so that you can have first place? God bless you. We love you, Aughts. An encouragement, a reminder for the newcomers' lunch. For those that are here, we're going to be meeting in the youth room off to the left. But in this area, we're just going to have an atmosphere, an opportunity to pray for those that would like to and to connect with him. God bless you. We love you lots, and we'll see you tonight at 6:30 at prayer.